Don't think too much, but go out and I'll fill your mouth with my words as you speak, and I'll get all the credit as you go out and speak. Okay. All right. So tonight, the teaching and the sharing is really going to be looking at Miriam, our Lord's mother, and some neat perspectives and things as we consider the birth of our Lord and Savior, Yehoshua Mashiach, Jesus Christ. And my wife, Vero, really gave me a neat perspective that I never thought of, to me, it's incredible. And so Miriam was betrothed, and if you get time, Dr. Werwell, our promised seed, has like 6 or 7 pages of what he's trying to explain what this process is.
Betrothal.
Yeah, and so and you start reading, okay, what interesting, this long process where we would call it something that's similar is our engagement, you're engaged. Now, I want you all, everybody should imagine a righteous Jewish girl, she knows the Tanakh. If you obey it, you're blessed. If you disobey, you're cursed. Okay. Obey. You want a good life? Okay, obey. Make Yahweh. And she's engaged to a good guy. Is Joseph a good guy? Yeah, Yahweh picked him. What do you think her ideas of her engagement parties would be like? Mm-hmm. Did they do fingernails? Pedicures? Did they have traditions of, whatever, getting ready? I like to think of Esther getting ready to get married to the king, the baths and stuff. That's what a wealthy person. You can imagine a young girl getting ready to get married, and is she righteous? Yes. Was she? What we're going to do is just use our imagination, act as if we knew Mary or something. Would she have her own ideas of what she wants?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Great. And during her engagement, but eventually she's going to get married, and the engagement will be over. And Yahweh interrupts her engagement. And he goes, I don't want you to do your engagement the way you want. I want you to be pregnant. I don't want to be pregnant bride. I don't want to go talk to my in-laws pregnant. I mean, Mary didn't say that, but who would want to be pregnant before they get married? What would the parties be like with her pregnant? What do you think it would be like for her going to a synagogue pregnant?
She probably wouldn't be alive.
Can you imagine what it would be like to be engaged? If people know you're engaged, you're from a small town possibly, whatnot, and all of a sudden you're pregnant, people might go from very excited for you to everybody's like, shh. Who would want to do that? She did. Yahweh asked her to do it. That betrothment, she gave, and she was asked to sacrifice it to Yahweh in a hope of meeting the Mashiach. Can you imagine that? What was the hope? The whole hope that Moses and through Isaiah was the Mashiach, the seed's coming to fix all this. And as we turn on the chosen, the Mashiach's coming, guys. The Mashiach's coming. The Mashiach's coming. And the hope of the Hebrews is that the second Adam's going to come and fix all this. Mm-hmm. Eventually. And so you can imagine her going, oh my goodness, if I go through with this, I'm going to get pregnant and this and that. But wait a minute, what's the whole hope of a Jewish girl? It's the Mashiach. And what Vero pointed out is that our life, this life, it's a snap.
Yep.
It's going to be gone. James 4:14 says it's a vapor. Talked to my 98-year-old grandmother, went to go visit her. I said, how fast does it go? She laughed at me. It'll be gone before you know it. So will our engagement. Our life, this life, is the engagement and the hope of meeting Christ. So Mary was asked to sacrifice that engagement. And how many people alienated her? Scriptures don't tell us, but can you imagine? I don't think you get more friends. I imagine, did she choose the easy road?
No.
How's she going to explain it to her mom? And there's some other real neat things about this whole story too that I'll digress a little bit from. But I'll come back to is that Victor Werwell points things out too, and he goes, it's not what we think with Joseph and Mary, with her being a virgin. You know, you can still tell whether a woman's a virgin. You can go to a doctor, there's something called a hymen, it's not broken.
Oh, cool.
What do you think Miriam would have wanted Joseph to do?
Break it.
I didn't have sex. Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me? Check it out. Go get the rabbi. Isn't that neat? A whole other way of looking at it. And here this thing is, they go check. Hey, she's still a virgin. What's going on? Maybe it's a tumor. It's not a tumor. And here the whole thing is, and then think about that, because when they do have sex, the hymen is broken, there's blood, and there's a Levitical law that if somebody says a woman was not a virgin, and they go show the sheets, they wouldn't have been sheets, but the clothing, there's the blood, this guy's going to be cursed. There's proof. Joseph didn't have sex with her. Why? What if Joseph was just wondering? Really easy to find out. Have sex with her before. I mean, is that thing going to be broken after the baby's born? Yeah! You want to be the rightful first person? But he didn't. I mean, didn't that just kind of paint a story?
Yeah.
Start thinking about it. Wow. And here's Joseph, I believe you, Mary. Or Miriam. And here's Miriam and her family would have been able to check these things out. But as far as the rest of the people, in this life you can be very, very popular if you want. You have lots of friends. Mary had that choice too. Now imagine if Mary said no. What do we know about Mary's life? Look at this life. Golly. We're going to take a look at her life a little bit and her relationship with the Mashiach. And it wasn't just the short-term meeting of the Mashiach. It was a relationship between her life and then the final meeting of the Mashiach. And our life is, we're not the bride of Christ. What are we? We're the groom. We're the body of Christ. The bride of Christ is the Jews. But when we meet Jesus Christ, we're his hands and his feet. It's going to be just like that marriage. It's going to be just like that wedding. And how many women... Well, they got shows about women dieting and Vera with these treatments, looking beautiful. I mean, she was so toned in her fingernails and her hair. Why? Here's this beautiful wedding. And what a great thing for us. We're going to meet Christ. This whole life is just an engagement that's going to be gone just like this. And what if Miriam chose not to do what she was supposed to do? She's still going to meet him. Mm-hmm. Right? What? I don't want to meet him now. Everybody's going to meet him. And so her obedience on the short run from this perspective, because Averill brought this up to me, I went, wow, was going to be, you're going to meet him sooner or later. Yeah. Maybe get in good with him. Hey, you could be his mom. That might help. Maybe he'll give you some extra benefits because you're his mom. These ideas. Here's some other interesting things, this is not, so the important thing about the teaching is our life is this vapor, it's this short engagement, and it's going to be ended. When's Christ coming back? Mm-hmm. Well, I'm 98 years old, it might not be 98 years old. You might die tomorrow, I might die tomorrow, Christ might come back, and here we go. I'm here. Oh no! I'm not ready yet. I'm not ready. Don't. Oh, you missed it. But Miriam did not miss it. And John Shainheit did a really neat sharing. And in the Tanakh, it will validate what he was suggesting, and also in that Jewish Bible will also suggest it. And he did a teaching saying when Christians read the book of Isaiah, or when Christians read these things, we read the end, we read it backwards, because we know where Christ is. And when translators are translating in the Hebrew, they have a tendency to do the same thing. We know where this is going, so this means this word. But John Shainheit did a teaching and goes, why didn't Mary know about the prophecy of a virgin getting pregnant? How many Christians know about a virgin getting pregnant?
Everybody.
Everybody knows. And why was this a mystery to Miriam? Because she was, I haven't even known a man. I mean, does she know the Tanakh? And John Shainheit says, the Hebrew word in Isaiah 7:14 can mean virgin, and that's why Christian translators translate a virgin. But he says Jews don't translate a virgin. It could be a young woman. Why did they think there's going to be a virgin? Yahweh didn't specifically say there's going to be a virgin. And if you go talk to Hebrews, you go open up their Bibles, it's going to say the young woman. Maybe, maybe not. Take a look. I just found it.
Yeah, what verse?
7:14. So this is a Tanakh.
Therefore, my Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a young woman is pregnant and will bear a son, and she will name him Emmanuel.
But isn't that neat? Yeah. Wow, okay, all right, so I'm going to be a virgin. And it could have been, and it appears that Miriam was the first person to know about the virgin birth. And you're like, wow, the first person in on the secret. And then the Jewish Bible is going to translate the same thing, a young woman. That's all. Just interesting. If you look at a couple other just tidbits about the birth of our Lord and Savior, if you go to the beginning of Luke. Lucas. Mm-hmm. There's two Gospels that have the genealogy.
Chapter.
Give me a second.
Matthew and Luke.
Yeah, that's right. And in Matthew's going to be the beginning, and Luke is going to be in chapter 3. And this is funny. I'm listening to Dr. Werewolf. I'm like, man, this guy must really irritate my dad. Get to the point. Get to the point. Because he sticks on one thing. He goes over and over. And I listen to this guy. He's a teacher from the 1970s and 80s. I'm like, man, this must really drive my dad nuts. Because I do the same thing. Dad's like, get to the point. But there is something called WhatsApp. And with WhatsApp, you can speed everything up twice as fast. So Vera's like, I'm like, my dad needs this app. Just get to the point. But here in the genealogy, and it's important for us to see things like this, because I was explaining this to Vera too, because the adversary knows scriptures, and if we don't know apparent contradictions, then he can use things to knock us off our feet and possibly discredit us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the genealogy in the book of Luke, if you go to verse 31, what does it say? Who is the son of David?
What chapter?
Chapter 3, Luke.
Mm-hmm.
31. If somebody would read that. It's going backwards.
Now you're talking about 23, you said 31.
Chapter 3, 31.
Well, that's in the middle of the genealogy.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, one of you are better with names. Go ahead.
Well,
Of
Mena, of Mattatha, of Nathan,
of David.
So, David.
Okay, so this person in the gospel called Luke came from David by way of a son named. Guess didn't just read it.
Nathan. Oh yeah.
The son Nathan. The prophecy was. The prophecy is going to be through who?
David.
Solomon. Just keep an eye there. There's Nathan. Now go to Matthew.
Nathan. You're calling that Nathan?
Natham. Natham.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I'm confused.
Natham.
Yeah.
Where are we going now?
Now Matthew. There's another genealogy. They're both talking about the birth of Jesus Christ, or Yehoshua Mashiach. So the point of this is just other things, interesting things about the birth of our Lord and Savior. If we go to, let's see, verse 6, chapter 1.
And Jesse begat David the king. And David the king begat Solomon of her, of Uriah.
And Solomon begat, this is not the same genealogy. You got two different genealogies here. How important is it for us to see it? The genealogy up to David's the same. After David, it digresses. It's not the same names. They're not even close. You're looking going, what is going on here? This is another, I believe it was John Shane I pointed this out. What does this mean? Well, we know what it doesn't mean. It means there's an apparent contradiction or there's a riddle here. And what you do is you go down to verse 16, okay? So conceptually, who was going to be the seed of David? The Messiah was going to be from the seed of David. It's going to be from his loins. It's going to come from his blood. Okay? Joseph, the stepfather, is not the same blood. It's not the same lineage.
That's Luke.
That's, okay. But here, it's going to look like this is Joseph too. They both look like they're both Joseph's lineage. Conceptually, no, wait a minute. We have a problem. The genealogy should be through the mother, Mary. Mary had the perfect egg. The seed was from Yahweh. Joseph's lineage really doesn't matter. We're talking about the seed of David. Yehoshua, son of David. Well, he's not from David. He is from his mom's side. From a stepdad's side, what does that matter? Yeah. I have no genetics to an adopted... If I have an adopted brother from Africa, we don't have the same genetics. We're not even close. What does it matter? But it appears that there's a pair of contradiction with both these, because both of them say the husband of Mary, Joseph, but in verse 16, and Jacob begot Joseph, the what of Mary?
Husband.
The same word can be translated the man.
Yeah, man.
It's the man. It can mean the husband, but if you look at the con, it can't mean the husband. It must mean the man.
The father.
It should be the father. So Mary married a guy with the same name as her dad.
Yeah.
Okay, isn't that cool? And how can you say that means husband? Well, because it has to be, the man. So turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13. First Corinthians chapter 3 verse 13, and the more we focus on the resurrection, the apostle Paul, he was the Moses of after Christ. I mean, who was this guy? Man, who could have done what he did? And you look at his credentials. Who else had credentials like that?
Yeah.
Moshe. Who is it? What did Moses know about being in Pharaoh? The laws, the rules. What kind of prep school did he go to? The best in Egypt. And who was Egypt? The most, I mean, think about Barron Trump. What kind of education has that guy got, right?
Mm-hmm.
What did Moses have? Huge abilities. And here's the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul, as you read, what is the thing that just captivated him? The resurrection. The resurrection. People hated him for it. They throw him out, they're going to kill him. There's no resurrection. People are already alive someplace else. But the resurrection, the resurrection. The more we focus on the resurrection, the more likely we are to finish our course. And so now what we're going to focus on, Miriam would have been focusing on having that baby. Okay, I'm all this discomfort. What? I'm going to hold the Mashiach in my hands. What's that going to be like? And you can imagine the confirmation about being around other powerful believers. If you are the strongest Christian in your group, fix the group.
Yeah.
Rush Limbaugh says you want to be successful, surround yourself with more successful people and ask for help. Where did Miriam go after she got pregnant?
Elizabeth.
The priest. Yeah. A righteous priest's house. And she was like, I don't know. And the scriptures don't say she was going through anything difficulty, but could you imagine a righteous Christian girl getting pregnant right now? Could it happen again? Could a virgin birth? Yeah, it could happen again. But can you imagine what that girl would go through? How would she be treated? And she goes, and what happens? The prophecy, boom, she needs confirmation. I'm going to hold a Mashiach. Can you imagine her, Elizabeth? And here's John the Baptist, and you're going to, man, when I meet this kid, it's going to be fantastic. And then think about Simeon when he got to meet Jesus Christ. What did he say? Oh, you see, the word of promise is great. Simeon was an old man, and he... Now I can die in peace. He's going to meet the Mashiach anyways. All of us are going to meet him. But I got to meet him in this life. How many people would have loved to meet him in this life? Do you think Moses would have liked to meet him? How about King David?
Sure.
We know him.
Yeah.
Yeah. We know him. We can talk to him every single day. He wasn't born until 500 years after Moses, or 1,000 years after Christ. I think King David was right around 1,000 BC. We know this guy right now. It's like, man, the hope. And here in chapter 3, verse 13, everyone's work shall be made manifest, for the day will make it plain, because by fire it will be revealed, each one's work of what sort it is, the fire itself will prove. If anyone's work shall abide, which he built, a reward he shall receive. If anyone's work shall be burnt up, he shall suffer loss, but shall himself be saved, though thus as through the fire. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul? Do you think the Apostle Paul, when he goes to this, and it hasn't happened yet, when Christ comes back, it's going to happen. Do you think the Apostle Paul's going to be shocked if anything got burned up? I knew that was gone. Let's get to the good stuff. Come on, I was beaten. I was shipwrecked. I went the wrong direction when you told me not to, but I came back, man. I came back. Manasseh came back. David came back. I came back. Saul didn't come back. Solomon did, but I came back. And here's the Apostle Paul standing in line waiting for his work to go through the fire going, I'm ready for this. I'm ready to receive this. And other people, and I'll be one of them going, oh, I thought that was going to make it. And go, okay. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 is another one.
Chapter 5?
Yeah, chapter 5, verse 10. So you can imagine, just if we are in Miriam's place, okay, let's just imagine she's sitting there going, could she said no? Does she have freedom of will?
Mm-hmm.
Could she have changed her mind? Could she have ran away? Of course. Yahweh would. Like, what happened with Esther? If you don't do your job, Yahweh will find another one. Do you think Miriam knew the book of Esther? Mm-hmm. Bet you she did. And Miriam rose to the task. Think about Miriam thinking about the book of Esther. You don't have to do it if you don't want to. But maybe this is the purpose why you were. Maybe this is why I'm alive. I'm going to meet the Mashiach anyways. I'm going to get to meet him and to get to be a part of that. Wait a minute, he wants my help? I know the Tanakh, if I disobey, I'll receive the curses. If I obey, and just imagine this thinking, that thinking, that thinking. And in verse 10, for we all must needs be made manifest before the judgment seat of the Christ, that each one may give back the things done by means of the body, according to the things which he practiced, whether good or corrupt. And we'll be there. We're going to be on that day. And I like to think of going through the airport with TSA. And you see some people that have never flown, or they're idiots. That's not going on the plane, man. And then what happens when you see people that trying to get things through TSA that's never going to... Everybody else is frustrated. What were you thinking? Everybody else, you can imagine people thinking, oh, I'm going to get away with this. You're not getting away with it. Go back to Luke. And this was another interesting thing with our lives being like Miriam. Luke chapter 1. Thank you. Thanks. And this was something that was new to me, which I never thought. I wish I would have. Each one of us are you and me, everybody is listening. We are a Miriam, and Yahweh wants you to get pregnant with His dreams. And guess what? It's going to be hard. Because Hebrews 11 says, without faith it is impossible to be well-pleasing. Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the Father. And one time I vented and he goes, what's wrong? I go, I've been so obedient. It's supposed to be easy. I'm supposed to be living on a level plane. And I vented and I vented and I vented. And I've been so obedient. Things aren't supposed to get more difficult. Do you guys have that feeling sometimes?
Yeah.
And and finally I vented. Respectfully. And Christ went, I'm at the right hand of my Father running everything. The reason why you exist is to produce faith for Him. Can I bless my Father if I give you a life that doesn't require faith? Mm. Your purpose is to produce faith, Aaron. Why are you shocked? What is wrong with you? And I'm like, don't ask for easier lives. But each one of us, and Yahweh is asking each one of us today to get pregnant. What is He calling you to do? I don't want to do that. And throughout my life, I just think about the cycles. I used to make fun of the judges, but I just reflect on my own life. I go in cycles. I'm successful, I'm a bum. I'm successful, I'm a bum. I'm successful, I'm a bum. Over and over in my life, I get successful, and then all of a sudden, things go really bad. Oh, I need help. Now you need help. Anyway, whether I was in high school, I was in college, and just kind of going back and forth and back and forth. In Luke chapter 1, verse 26, something there's a saying that I've heard. I don't know how true it is. I haven't verified it, but it says that there's 365 fear nots in the Bible. People say that. Fear not, fear not, fear not. Is it said that a lot? Is that said a lot? Fear not? Yes. But, this is something I should have been ready for. Because what I will do is, He's not giving me the spirit of what I used to say fear, but it's cowardice, but of power, love, and correction. And when fear comes in, I rebuke fear and then get rid of these things. But let's just take a look at the scriptures. What happens to people in scriptures when Yahweh confronts them with a task? They don't pop off confetti. Yay! Look what happens. Somebody read Luke 1, 26 through 29.
And now in the sixth hour was the messenger Gabriel sent forth from Yahweh into a city of Galilee, the name of which was Nazareth, unto a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the name of the virgin was Miriam. And entering into her, he said, joy to thee, favored one, Yahweh be with thee. And she at the word was greatly troubled.
Pause right there. She was what?
Greatly troubled.
Okay. Just hold on to that for a second. We should be ready to be greatly troubled and not to dismiss it as that's from the adversary. Because this is not from the adversary. But being in Yahweh's presence, and when He asks us to do something, guess what happens with Miriam? Greatly troubled. Now let's go back and take a look at Uncle Zach. Verse 12. What happened with him? I'll start off verse 11. My dad did a great teaching. Here's Zechariah. E.W. Bullinger says he gets to go do this incense once in his lifetime. He's an old man. It's the first time he gets to go in there. That's E.W. Bullinger. Kind of read. I don't know how valid it is. Scriptures don't say that. And he's in the dark room. There's the Holy of Holies. There's nothing but the candles. And what's beautiful, use your mind. Things are solid gold here, but they were with Moses. And he's in there interceding, and you look to your right, and there's somebody standing. Oh, I'm an old man, dang it! Who are you? Can he kill me? What was his response to the messenger? And so somebody had to read 11 and 12.
And there appeared unto him a messenger of Yahweh standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he beheld and fear fell upon him.
What happened before he got his mission?
Oh, hey, babe.
I look this way. Should have been this way. You're going to kill... Okay. Let's just think about this reasonably. Yahweh, I'm an old man. Oh, hey, babe, you're going to give me a heart attack. I got to get her pregnant. You can't... Because you done it down by the stream? Because you waited? No, you had to pop up right in the middle of the door. That's style. That's writing. And this is before the mission. Scare the snot out of them. Well, maybe those are the only two in the nativity of the birth of Christ. Let's go to 2 verse 10.
Look.
Yeah.
Can't find two.
Oh, and the messenger said unto them, be not afraid, for lo, I bring you good tidings of great joy, the which shall be for all the people.
And so the shepherds,
yeah.
These are probably children. They're out watching the sheep at night. This is the month of September. And it was neat what Dr. Werwell saying that in September, the scriptures don't say this, but he said that they would use the flocks to fertilize the fields, the manure and pea. And yet, and who has that job? Kids. David was a kid. He was a shepherd. He wasn't at war. So who are these guys? Kids. But what is the point of this? Yahweh has no problem scaring people. Think about that. Vero had a father, and I imagine that he had no problem scaring people. My dad was great at scaring people. We'd be at the ranch and get your heart going. But the point of all this, Yahweh wants us to get pregnant with something. Be ready to get scared. We should be preparing people going, wait a minute, who are we talking about? Do you think you could just walk in? Hey, how you doing? It's nice to meet you. Anyways, what do you need from me? Because I'm on a time schedule. No, if Yahweh's going to get your attention. And he could do it involuntarily. Can you think of anybody who involuntarily gave their attention to Yahweh? My dad did a teaching on this one too. There were some guards standing by the tomb guarding the body of Jesus Christ to make sure nobody stole the body. And when the angel shows up, boom, what do? They play dead. It's the best they got. And go, okay. Now, back to Miriam. So it does, be ready to be fearful. And here's Miriam. Just imagine this woman who could have forfeited having the Mashiach. Now she has the Mashiach. The messengers come. She got confirmation. Yahweh will give each one of us confirmation if we're holy. He's not mocked. If we're not holy, he's not sending messages. I remember my brother screening phone calls when we were in Hawaii. We looked down at the phone call. He allegedly screened his phone calls. And he always denied it. And we look out through the hotel window. There's my brother Guy laying out in the Hawaii by the pool. He's got his phone, and somebody said, call him, see if he screens his phone call. He doesn't answer, he looks and does this. So somebody calls him, he sits up, grabs the phone, went, and all of us were there to testify, he did it! It was a big joke for us, but all of us have done the same thing for Yahweh. Don't expect another phone call.
Yeah,
he's not going to do another phone call. And Miriam could have said, I'm not taking another phone call, stay away from it. And I believe everybody in here has actually scrapped one or two of Yahweh's plans before. Maybe knowingly, maybe unknowingly. I'm going to do it my own way. And probably the first 30 years of my life, I was doing it my own. I don't think my brain started working until I was 30. To be honest with you, looking backwards, well, I was successful, but so stupid. Because I wasn't thinking about the resurrection. But turn to Luke chapter 2:48. We'll go back to Miriam and the Mashiach and this relationship. And in 2:48, let's see here. Is it 2? I believe it's going to be 3. It's the wrong one. No, it is 2. And so here's Jehoshua, very unusual. Here's this thing. He's going to be 12 years old, found the temple. What happens? He's missing for 3 days. Oy vey, I lost the Son of God. What am I going to do? What am I going to tell Yahweh? Joseph, why did we blow it? I knew it. Can you imagine the panic? Verse 48. And when they beheld him, they were astounded when they found him. And his mother said unto him, child, why hast thou... See the emphasis? Why hast thou dealt with us thus? Why did you do... Was she scared?
Yeah, angry.
Christ only did what his father told him to do. He only said what his father told him to say. What was he doing here? We don't necessarily know, but what was her response to her the Mashiach? Scared the snot out of her. It was a necessary. Yahweh records it. There could be a time in your life that somebody's going to scare the snot out of you, and Yahweh's going to be, are you paying attention? And here, even here, can you imagine what's really wonderful about Miriam? After the angel, it says Miriam was attentively considering these things. She was thinking about this. You can imagine, not just having the Mashiach, but think about, I'm going to go before him anyways. The whole life is about going before the seed of David, the seed of the woman in Genesis 3:15. This life's going to be gone anyways. And she, you imagine her thinking, so I lose my betrothment, I won't get my parties, people are not going to like me. But is that what this life's for? Or is this life an audition for the next one? And is this just a part of my resume? Maybe that's it. You can think about Miriam, maybe she's 14, 15 years old, going back to Hadassah, Esther going, what did Esther do? She laid down her life. Did Esther know she was going to save all those Jews? Had no idea. Did Esther know that she was going to have a son named Cyrus who's going to rebuild the temple?
Nope.
What? What? What if Esther would have quit? It's easy of Miriam going, And then here, she gets reproved by her son. Who the heck does this kid think he is? Honor thy mother and thy father. But to... For Yahweh has said done in 49. He said unto them, why was it that ye were seeking me? Perceive ye not that in the courts of my father I must needs be? I believe, this is my own opinion, that Miriam needed an awakening. Sober up. Sober doesn't necessarily mean alcohol. It means you're not thinking. Who are you raising? And it could be that she's thinking she's raising her own child with her own thing. Here's Joseph. No, Mary, you're missing it. It's time to wake up. Prepare the way. Because what's her response in verse 50? And they understood not the thing which he had spoken to them, and he went down with them and came into Nazareth as was submitting himself unto them, and his mother was closely observing all these things in her heart. Her son just broke her heart. And it doesn't say that, but you can imagine a mother. Why did you do that to me? Did I ever scare you growing up, Mom? Why would you do that to me? You didn't answer the phone calls. But what is it? And could it be that Yahweh was going, Miriam, need you on board? And could it have been love that Yahweh was trying to, hey, come on, come on. Now we fast forward, so here's Miriam. Do I discipline him? Do I do this? This is so embarrassing. I'm so embarrassed. I mean,
yeah, the whole
you just lost a kid 3 days. Are you embarrassed? Yeah, I'm embarrassed. Who is this kid? This is the one I've been telling everybody. He's the Mashiach. What's happening here? Is he disobedient? Is he not disobedient? Miriam, Aaron, Rachel, Chuck, your whole purpose. You're going to meet him. Not the 12-year-old, but one day your whole life's going to go right before him. Are you thinking about that, Miriam? Or are you thinking about the first 17 years before he goes off to college? Huh. It doesn't say that, but it's just a thing to be thinking about. Now go to Mark 3. Marco 3. Tres, 35. And if you go up to verse 21, this is when they're going to start saying that he's demonized. Yehoshua is demonized. In verse 21, and they were near to him, hearing of it, went out to secure him, and they were saying, he is beside himself. What does that mean? It means he's crazy. Okay, so what's the context? You're going crazy. In verse 33. I'll go up to 31. And there cometh his mother and his brethren standing outside. They sent unto him, calling him. Why are they calling him? They need to talk to him. He's got to tone back. He's gone too far. You're driving everybody crazy. Your standards are too high. You're just insulting to me. And I hear some people, it's just the way they say it. And then, it bothers me too, but then I go back to the Apostle Paul and Moses. How did they say it? It wasn't eloquent, but he got the word done. And Yahweh will send somebody to you with a stutter or a speech impediment. But here it was, your brothers are standing outside, verse 32, and there was sitting around him a multitude, and they said unto him, lo, thy mother and thy brethren outside are seeking him. And answering them, he said, who are my mother and my brethren? And looking around them, who about him in a circle were sitting, he saith, see, my mother and my brethren. Whosoever shall do the will of Yahweh, the same is a brother, sister, and mother of mine. Do you think that hurt his feelings?
Oh, yeah.
That his mom was deceived? Was she being malicious? No. Was she being authentic? We got to talk to you. And he's going to go, did Christ miss it? What is the purpose of Christ? The purpose of Christ is for him to go up on Mount Moriah and die like Isaac in the hope of a resurrection. The purpose of Christ is for him to be seated at the right hand of the Father until he makes your enemies your footstool. The purpose of Christ is to wake up all those dusty sleepers in the book of Ezekiel. Can they live, Ezekiel? You know, Lord, right?
Mm-hmm.
How can these things come alive again? He's coming. The purpose of Christ is to fulfill my Father's will. And there will be a resurrection. And Hebrews 12 says, the glory that was set before him, that he was able to endure the death of the cross. And here he was. But here's Miriam gone. Was she confused? Yeah, I'm sure she was confused. What's going on? I just need to talk to you. But what if, with this story with Miriam, what if she ponders again? What is the purpose of my life? It is not to convince him. The purpose of my life is to be a living sacrifice for Yahweh, and I'm going to go before his son one day, and did I do my job? It's not to change somebody else's ministry or tell them, water it down. No. Flame it up, Chuck.
Mm-hmm.
Vera, more.
Mm-hmm.
You, more. You, more. What is the purpose? You're on borrowed time? The breath in your lungs is not your own? The blood in your veins doesn't belong to you? Where are you going? You're going to meet the king any moment. What are you doing with all this? I think back to high school when I was such a fool because I would get C's and I'd get challenged by doing the least amount of work and still passing classes. Then I got to college and I'm like, I'm such an idiot because my friends that went to Catholic schools got straight A's. And they look geniuses, and I'm a moron. I could have been doing the same thing. I just wasted it all. I had my reward. Remember, kids skipping out of school to go smoke cigarettes at lunchtime. And that's what a lot of us are doing. That's what most Christians are doing. They're not thinking about the resurrection. Now, turn to Acts. About Miriam's life with the Mashiach. It started with forfeiting an her betrothment. She didn't get her betrothment, but do you think she ever lamented it after she held the Mashiach?
No.
Do you think she ever, well, Yehoshua, I always wanted to name you Joseph like my dad, my husband. I missed those parties. She never thought about it. Neither were you or I when we get to meet Christ. We're not going to think about what we gave up. Then in the book of Acts, Yehoshua.
Chapter 1.
He tells them, the last time they were in Jerusalem, they saw him get crucified. Crucify him, crucify him. And who said it? The same people who are going to repent in Acts 3. These aren't crazy murderers, and these are Christians. Now, don't be afraid to go to Jerusalem. It's not called Pentecost. What's it called?
What are we talking about?
Pentecost?
Oh yeah, Feast of Weeks.
Feast of Weeks. So don't be afraid to go. So we're all going to go there. Here's Miriam. Am I going to really be there? Are you guys sure he said this? Or maybe she heard him say this. Can you imagine her thinking? Golly. And what does she do? She's asked to forfeit her engagement again for the hope of another wedding of meeting Christ. And go to verse 14. Actually, I'll go to verse 12. These are the disciples returning to Jerusalem. And this is Chuck, Wendy, go to Tehran. Where?
Yeah.
The capital of Iran. I'm going to need some confirmation on that.
Yeah.
Verse 12. Then returned they into Jerusalem from a mountain called Olivet, which is nigh unto Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And would somebody read 13 and 14 for me, please?
And when they had entered into the upper story, went they up, there were remained behind both Peter and John and James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. Those all were given constant attention with one accord unto the prayer with women and Mary, the mother of Yahushua, and with his brethren.
And his brethren. Can you imagine the disciples being there? Who showed up? I mean, who's really going to make this? Who's strong enough? I mean, you say you'll die for them, and this might be it.
Mm-hmm.
Do they know what's going to happen next? Now, can you just use your imagination with me? Can you imagine what it looked like for Judas and James and Miriam when Mark 3:35 was said publicly? That's not my mother, my brothers. You're my mothers and my brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Ouch!
Yeah.
Have you ever been hurt with the truth? You've been distracted? And that's your excuse? That's it! I'm never going back to this church. You ever heard of that? Somebody has one reason, I'm never going to go back. And then here on this day, they're looking around going, hey, isn't that Miriam? Isn't that James and Judas? Yeah. Wow, they still came. Isn't that neat? They showed up again, And what happened? Yehoshua, who loved his mother more than anybody? Yehoshua did. But what did he have to do in order to love his mother? Seek ye first the rule of Yahweh, then all these things will be added unto you. Put Yahweh first and you'll take care of my things. So how did Yahweh take care of his mom? Putting Yahweh first. And what happened on the day of Pentecost? The rushing Ruah comes in, the cloven fire. Yahweh is not out there. Yehoshua is now cloned. And who's there? Miriam, speaking in tongues, and here's Yehoshua looking at his mom going, King David never got to do that. Moses never did that. Now, because of what Yehoshua did, because of his propitiation, his blood, now the Ruach can be poured out in a way that who knew about this? We knew in Joel that the prophecy was going to be poured out, but the speaking in tongues, what was going to happen going forward? Boom! And you know what I love to think about with this? Is Yehoshua before all this? Hi, Mom. How are you doing, Mom? Checking on you, Mom. I love the Passion of the Christ. He's washing his hands to his water in her face. You know, this and that. But on Acts 2, here's Miriam inside of her own head. Hi, Mom. How you doing, Mom? Can you imagine Christ talking to his own mom? You made it. I can hear him. I can hear him on the inside. Is this what it was like to be Moses? But who is she listening to? The same baby that Yahweh asked her to carry. The same baby she sacrificed her own dream to carry his dreams is now speaking inside of her. And one day she will meet her son again. Father, help us clean the wounds that each one of us have for your children, your dreams, your ideas. Help us be reminded that we were created because you needed servants in a family. Help us take our own ideas and throw them out the window. Just say, here I am, send me. And in Hebrew, it's hein, hein, shalach. Here I am, send me. So that we can have your dreams be impregnated within us, and that we can carry your children, your dreams, like Miriam did. Not just to be born, but she finished her race. She went the course. She saw her son. She went to the cross. Help us also be like Miriam, focusing on meeting your son and meeting you. And as we do so, we know that your burdens are light, but it will scare us. But let us not be cowards with weak knees and weak hands. For if Yahweh is for us, who can be against us? And what is the purpose of our existence? You're looking for servants for your empire and children that you will love. Amen.
Amen.